Welcome to the Real Docs Podcast. Hosted by Dr. Britt Lesher and Dr. Lisa John. Tune in every Wednesdays for new episodes. This podcast does not act as medical advice and should not be used as a substitute for medical care. Please contact your healthcare professional for questions regarding your health.
Welcome back to the Real Docs Podcast. This is season 3, episode 8. We are your co-hosts. I'm Dr. Lisa Jung.
And I'm Dr. Britt Lesher.
Today, we are going to be talking about greenwashing, and we'll talk a little bit about what that is, but you know, knowing what greenwashing is and how to shop as a conscious shopper. It's a pretty, you know, if you kind of think about it, not technically medical per se, but still has some health and medical implications that you should be mindful of when it comes to shopping your cosmetics, body care products, household items, so forth and so on. So we wanted to take this time and episode to talk a little bit about that and how we also incorporate, you know, how we shop, knowing some of these sort of tactics, I suppose.
I like that in naturopathic medicine, we were taught like to have that kind of eco, like world friendly view, because yes, there's some overlap with health. But we always see the world as like disconnected from ourselves, when really like the world is an extension of us, and like the health of the world is an extension of our own health. I'm even thinking about like in herbal medicine class, when they would tell us about like these herbs are endangered and like, you know, they're at risk of going extinct. So, you know, even though they're these great herbs that we could use, like we should opt for something else that's a little bit more sustainable, because this herb, using this herb so much is not sustainable, right? So I like that we have this kind of view of that in naturopathic medicine.
Yeah. And even when we talk about different conditions too, right? One, you know, few different things that we always talk about whenever it comes to sort of the epidemiology or like what can cause or contribute to certain conditions and things like that are environmental factors. And we talk about, you know, our carbon footprints and our impact on our environment. And I'm trying not to get too political about it, but you know, in terms of that impact, how does it come back to us, right? Whether it's pollution, whether it's, you know, contamination, or even just the endocrine disruptors, right? Yeah. So we're gonna be talking about that, you know, super super important on not just on ourselves, but to our world, to our planet.
We only have one.
Yeah, we only have one. They haven't found, you know, the other alternatives.
Maybe
yet.
We'll make it to Mars. Who knows?
I don't know. Questionable. I mean, thank you, NASA, for exploring that. Let's talk about what is greenwashing. So greenwashing is basically a marketing tactic, funny enough, that a lot of companies and brands use to sort of obtain or even maintain their consumer population, if you will. So greenwashing, it kind of sounds nice if you knew nothing about it. Yeah. Like, oh my god. And like wash and like all this sort of stuff.
It seems clean
but that's actually exactly sort of what it is that brands and companies use this tactic to sort of appear that they're eco-friendly, that they're sustainable, that they're, you know, all about the environment and things like that. But when really looked into it more further, they're not implicating those practices or policies or anything like that within their mission or anything like that.
Yeah, I definitely think like just like anything else that gets popularized in the kind of the health and wellness sphere, that's exactly what's happening with greenwashing. It's like companies are seeing that, oh, people are trying to be more mindful of like their impact on the world, so we need to pivot and put, you know, nicer, greener labels, or put like fancy words like sustainable or biodegradable and things like
nice
that.
Nice natural nature pictures.
Yeah. And it's very difficult, because at least in America, like the consumer is the one that has to do all of the like groundwork for really researching and being mindful of these things. And majority Americans don't have the time to like sit down and like look through these things and understand. So that's, I think, one thing that I would encourage people is just like start somewhere, start small. Like the things even that we'll talk about, it's like, you know, we're not perfect. Everything in our house is not sustainable, right? But it's the things that matter to you that you can make a difference about, or make a difference on, is what's going to be the actually the most sustainable, for lack of better terms, for you. So, because a lot of times, you know, when these companies do a lot of this greenwashing and this marketing, then it makes them feel like, okay, we can actually charge a premium and charge more, because a lot of truly sustainable, truly eco-friendly brands do have to spend a little bit of more money to get these practices together. And so then that translates into a higher cost price for the actual product. In the long run, it actually balances out with money and how much you're paying for, right?
Wouldn't it be just nice if companies and brands were just very honest of like, hey, we aren't eco-friendly.
Yeah.
Obviously, you know, there's a lot more in the ideology and theories and practices with marketing. That's not obviously, you know, honestly doesn't work out for them. Yeah. And doesn't bring them money. So I can understand on that side. But it's also like, why? You know, nobody likes to be lied at, especially consumers, especially if, you know, people are trying to make the next steps to be, you know, I'm going to use up all the stuff at home, but I'm going to start switching my laundry detergent to something more, you know, eco-friendly and sustainable, and maybe even like good ingredients for like sensitive skin or whatever it is, right? And then just to find out, oh, crap, like this actually is not a good product. It's actually, you know, it just has like the fancy words and fancy pictures, but not actually exactly what they're trying to aim for. And
yeah,
it's not a good feeling.
Yeah. And I also have seen too, specifically on like with certain brands being sold on like Amazon and things like that, that they actually have these kind of like fake logos now, because you know how certifications, like you can get USDA organic or vegan friendly, cruelty free, you know, like sustainable, true sustainable certifications that go through like third party, you know, companies that then vet the brand for you. They have these like fake logos that don't mean anything. They've just kind of created it. So that's the thing too. It's like, just like the supplement industry, these things are not regulated, really. We try to have a good regulation system, but there really just isn't. So you do have to be diligent to a certain extent of being aware.
Wait, so they're not like putting like the Leaping Bunny, even though they're not Leaping Bunny, or are they just completely random?
They'll just put like a generic picture of a bunny and be like, this is a vegan. Yeah. So maybe
how dare you?
Yeah. No, seriously. Like companies are kind of like wild with some of these claims. And so if, you know, that's one thing, like spotting greenwashing is something that is very usually, it's a practice. Like even for us as providers, like it takes research, it takes being aware and just like knowledgeable. That's why I like to just have, you know, for myself, I just follow certain like sustainable, eco-friendly like Instagram accounts or TikTok or listen to podcasts, whatever it may be, because it's like that's how you make the decisions as a consumer, is just with knowledge. So that's why we wanted to make this episode, is because, you know, we talk about these things and, you know, the average consumer goes into a store and it's so overwhelming. It's so overwhelming, especially now that there's like companies that are actually trying to be deceptive, because that's what greenwashing is. It's a deceptive marketing tactic.
Even just like kind of going back to like the wording that they use, right? Like it's like raw or plant-based or sustainable or whatever it is, you know, this is also, you know, I think we've alluded a lot in other episodes as well, right? Making sure that you look at the ingredients to actually see, like, are these actual like raw ingredients? Are they actually plant-based? Even if they are plant-based, like for example, it doesn't necessarily mean that it's sustainable, because we don't, you know, we have to look into the processes of making this product, even if it's plant-based, to say, oh, are they actually producing more pollution or whatever have you, trying to make these products that are supposed to be quote unquote sustainable or truly green or anything like that, right? So look into research. I would say, like, you know, even for me, when I started being more conscious of, like, okay, I want to, like, reduce my footprint, you know, carbon footprint and everything like that, there's a lot of, like, TikTok influencers who are very dedicated to that that I really enjoy, as well as just simple Google. Obviously, with a lot of the websites or different organizations, you also have to kind of look into it. Again, this is a lot of research and a lot of time that does go into your life. So, you know, be ready.
That's why I kind of like it with when it's social media, because it's like you're on it and you're like passively getting this information, yeah. And that they like truly vet the brands for you.
Right.
I also like to use the Environmental Working Group, which I've mentioned a ton of times, because I feel like they're an organization that truly like tries to get to the nitty gritty and like tries to vet these things out for you. So sometimes I'll just even look on there and just like browse the companies that they vet. And then when I'm in the store, I'm like, oh, I recognize that brand. Okay, I'm going to buy from them. It's like, it's as simple as that. It can be very like passive. But yeah, I do think that there's a certain level of like awareness. And that's kind of the point of like the episode is like tips for being a conscious shopper. Like conscious is being aware and mindful and demure. No.
Very demure, very mindful.
But that's what it means, right? Is like being mindful. One thing that I tip that I have for people being a conscious shopper is something that I kind of got into when I was actually moving out of Hawaii to Seattle for school, is this idea of like minimalism is just like buying less in general, if you can, right? Buying things that you can reuse and or recycle, or, you know, like we're big fans of thrifting, right? Buying secondhand, things that you just like the under consumption core that's kind of going on right now. That's I love that.
Just like reusing, reducing, what is it? Reduce, recycle. Yeah. Rikiki. you know, a lot of that too. And I remember this one time I went to the Natural Products Expo, mm-hmm. A couple years ago during my residency, and it was really nice because literally the first vendor I just kind of stumbled across and was talking to were I can't remember the organization, but they were associated with EWG, mm-hmm. and all of their product that they had was, you know, cosmetics, skincare that are EWG approved, that are actually sustainable, really good, you know, carbon footprint and all that stuff. And, you know, really dedicated in their company's mission as well in terms of really supporting and protecting our environment and all of that. And I just remember being like, wow, like this is so great, because not only, you know, in the medical lens of these are some products that we can recommend to our patients for their like overall skincare, whatever, but also just knowing that impact. And there are organizations that are dedicating to really spreading this awareness too. And, you know, there's so many different, you know, ways. I would also say, you know, whether it's companies, whether it's influencers, whether it's like websites and things like that, be aware of like the intentions, right? Because there are something that I've also found too, is that like there are sort of like contrasting information, or like especially if you're like looking up like list of brands that are truly green or truly sustainable, and like there's some that aren't really like that. One website might say it is and the other might not have it, and is it like truly because like maybe they weren't able to list all of them, or is it because maybe one is saying like, oh, like it is, but then really when you look into the brands it's not, or anything like that. So there's just little, you know, details to fact check and whatnot. But, you know, there's so many resources, I feel like, that are available for all of us.
Yeah, I feel like even just to thinking about the overlap between like the health of our bodies and the health of the planet, I think a big crossover section for sustainability is produce and like how we're buying our food in the grocery stores, thankfully now there's a lot more access to like farmers markets or like being able to purchase from community gardens, things like that. That's always a really great way to, you know, make sure that you're buying organic. One thing that I do tell patients a lot of the time, because there's this whole thing about like going organic and buying organic, I do like to use the environmental working groups like Dirty Dozen, Clean 15 when I grocery shop, because, you know, there's only certain foods that, you know, you want to make sure that you're buying organic because they use they spray pesticides heavily, or it's just not clean practices with how they grow that food. Most of the time, as a rule of thumb, I tell people, like, if you're going to be eating the whole fruit or vegetable, right, if there's not a peel, a protective layer, those are the things that you want to prioritize getting organic. Like, I think the one thing that has consistently been on the EWG's Dirty Dozen is like strawberries, right?
Or like blueberries.
Strawberries, like blueberries, spinach, those types of things, because you're eating the whole plant and there's not like a protective covering for it. But if you go and, you know, you shop at a farmer's market or a community garden, most of those farmers are doing organic practices. And so that can be a really good way to, you know, prioritize what you're actually buying. And I think, like, when we think about just farming practices in general, they do say that, you know, a lot of the conventionally grown fruits and vegetables and produce now, it's like the soil is so deplete from non-organic or conventional farming practices. So it's like that lack of nutrients translates into our body, right? So there is this kind of understanding that, yes, it's better for the planet, but it's also better for your body in that situation as well, right?
You know what's kind of sad? Well, actually, before I get into that, and I think if I remember correctly, like the Dirty Dozen changes like every season or every year or something like that, yeah. Right? So like really good to also like keep yourself updated and be like, what's this season's Dirty Dozen or Clean 15 or whatever, you know, is going on. And I love like regenerative farms as well, because I feel like those farms those farms really support that environment, but also like really focusing on how do we not deplete our soils even more further than it already has, and so forth and so on. So many different ways, like even like eggs, there's a lot of like regenerative farms for eggs. You know, we talk about like meats, like beef and whatnot for that as well. What's really kind of sad about like organic, I can't remember where I heard this from, in terms of like my fact check, but you know, even like the organic sort of like fruits and vegetables, right, it's hard to really truly have that like full like stamp of approval organic because of, you know, these pesticides from different farms that are being used are traveling, whether it's from soil, like the water runoff, or, you know, through wind or anything like that. So there are some, you know, little contaminations that happen in those, you know, organic farms as well, which is really, really sad. Yeah. But, you know, I think it's also one of those things that we have to also realize of, you know, how do we reduce that burden and load in our body? Mm-hmm. So shopping as much organic as possible when, if it's, you know, if it's in your resources and means, then yes. If not, then really we're having to pick and choose. And how do we make sure we go about really helping to detox and reduce that burden in our body too?
Yeah, I think I know what you're talking about. Like how they, even though it's like it says USDA organic, there's a certain number that they actually still allow. And yeah, it is very unfortunate because the US is just like, compared to other countries, it's crazy how behind we are. But I feel like that's kind of the first step, is like the awareness piece of like just being aware of it, like doing the best that you can, is going to be the most sustainable thing to like fit into your life, right? Because these things, like we had talked about previously, do take some time and research, also take some resources, takes sometimes more money, right? So by no means do we think like, because sometimes I feel like this, when we talk about these things, it feels almost like elitist, like, oh, I'm going to go shop at my farmer's market and get my like regenerative farming beef and like all of this kind of stuff. It's like, sometimes people don't have access to it. Sometimes people don't have the money for it. Sometimes people don't have the time for it. So I think like that's kind of the purpose of this episode, is just like little steps. You know, if you're going to pick three things that you're going to switch out, like skincare, if there are going to be three things that you're going to pick out or switch out with, like when you go grocery shopping, like it really just takes one little step to like build multiple steps. So I feel like that's a good kind of place to start, right? Is just being aware.
Yeah. And there's so many, you know, different resources like we talked about. There's one that I've been sort of trying out, and it's not specifically produce, but it's kind of like a lot of times it's like bakery goods. I won't lie, but mm-hmm. there's some that are like food based that is available. But there's an app called Too Good To Go, and it's basically like, whether it's a bakery like near you, like whether it's a bakery near you or whether it's like a Whole Foods near you, they're kind of new within the Too Good To Go, but they sell like day old food or pastry or something like that that they would normally throw out at the end of the day. You can actually buy it for a lot more of a discount.
Nice.
So that it's helping obviously the sustainability, you know, reducing food waste and all of that. It's kind of hit or miss depending on where you get it from. I've gotten it twice from both Whole Foods. One was like a pastry, one was sort of like their like prepared meal, but I think like the prepared meal I paid like $8 or $10, somewhere between that range, and I ended up getting like one prepared meal or two prepared meals that I ended up like, great, I don't have to like meal prep for my husband this week, like this is his meal prep, and then like a whole like container of like a lobster bisque that was actually really delicious that I ate for lunch throughout the week, and you know, things like that, where you're not only getting a good deal out of it, but you're also really supporting that like reduction of food waste, sustainability, all of that too. I think the Yuka app was also something that we talked about in like episode one of like the first season of like what are some things that are out there that like doesn't have like different swaps and whatnot. There's other like companies I know, like Patagonia is very big when it comes to like making headlines about really giving back to the environment, especially for the environmental protection and all of that. So, you know, things like that. Obviously, we can't afford Patagonia like left and right, but, you know, things like that where we can really be conscious. And, you know, next time it's like, oh, like, do I want to, I need a, like, a down jacket for, I don't know what, but
it's being like, always a win when we find, like, Patagonia in the thrift store.
And then thrifting, secondhand, you know, shopping. Even doing, like, clothing swaps with, like, friends and family. I know it's, like, a big thing that people are also implementing. It's, like, a little, like, show and tell and be like, I want that. I'll give you this for it. It's, like, a bartering system, too. So many different ways.
Yeah, I think like there's so many, also so many like documentaries that have like opened my eyes to how like things work, because it can be hard to like see something on the shelf and really understand everything that goes on behind that, or like maybe the like poor practices that people have when they're buying something that's in the store. So like there's a bunch that I'm like thinking of, like 2040 is one, The Biggest Little Farm is another one, Seaspiracy, that's the one about the fish.
Oh, I don't think I've watched that.
That one is crazy, about like omega-3 like fish oils and like the fish farming and like, you know, how it's like unsustainable, how like the fishing and fishing practices are. But I think that's like kind of just this episode, like the kind of what we wanted to spark is just people being aware that there's choices that they can make, and you know, doesn't have to be something that's like so overwhelming, because I think it's overwhelming for me sometimes too, especially as Virgo with decision paralysis in general. Like then when I'm trying to be a mindful shopper, it's like, oh my god, there's so many things, right? But that's what I've kind of told myself, is like, just start with three things that you're gonna switch out. Maybe it's like, stop, you know, we're not gonna buy paper towel anymore. We're going to use like the reusable rags, or like we're not going to buy saran wrap. We're going to buy those like recyclable beeswax covers, things like that, like little things.
We hope you guys enjoyed this episode. Obviously, it's not a full detail, but again, it's the tips, the consciousness of when you go shopping, under consumption, all of that stuff. Give us a thumbs up or like wherever you're watching this, wherever you're listening to this. Give us a comment if you have any questions, anything you want to see from us. Make sure you follow us on all of our social media as well. And as always,
be real
and stay well.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to this week's episode of the Real Docs Podcast. Don't forget to like and share this episode and follow us on our social media pages. Tune in every Wednesday for more episodes.